You're listening to Richard Ellis Talks with Richard Ellis. Richard's style is very unique, where he shares the message of the gospel unlike anyone else. It's real, refreshing, focused, and fun. Whether you find yourself in a good place, maybe in a difficult place, or possibly even in a very lonely place, let me encourage you that you've come to the right place. Now, if you're not able to stick around with us for all of today's talk, you can always listen to, download, and even share this entire message with a friend right from our website, richardellistalks.com. So, with today's talk, here's Richard Ellis.
The title of today's message is, This Too Shall Pass. Definitely a phrase you'd like to hear from your urologist when he informs you that you have kidney stones. That's what you're looking for in that visit. So this phrase, this too shall pass, was introduced in our country by Abraham Lincoln. The phrase became widely known in America, referred to in a speech he did before he was president. And he was recounting the story of some monarchs, go way back, Jewish, Persian, I think even, who had their wise men, their kind of sages, come up with something, and one of them even had it put on a ring, I believe. Like, when things were terrible, you could say that phrase, this phrase, and say, okay, it's going to be okay. And that's what they came up with. This too shall pass. So we're going to look at some of this in the scriptures and a little bit different twist on it along the way. And we're going to start in Genesis chapter 8. If you go read the previous chapters, and it's very fascinating to me that Genesis is the first book of the Bible, obviously, if you don't know that, that's where it starts. And within 8 chapters, God is already doing a do-over. He's going to wipe out the whole world except for 8 people and all the animals. And he tells a guy named Noah to build a boat. He doesn't live anywhere near water, a coast. It's the most absurd thing in the world. And Noah spends 100 years building this ark. He's a fool. He's an idiot. I'm sure everyone around him thinks he's lost his mind, and he just keeps doing what God told him to do. Then it starts to rain. The waters come up from below, come down from above, and now Noah's not so stupid. And all the animals show up. There's just lots of miracles going on in this whole story. And even the door that he built was too big for Noah to close. It says God himself shut him in. God closed the door. And when he closes the door, it's closed. So you better get on the boat before the door closes. So here they are in this boat. Interesting details for me about Noah's ark is there's no indication of any rudder being a part of the ark. There's no steering mechanism. They're totally at the mercy of God. The whole planet's covered with water. And people say, well, that's not possible. Like there can't be 2 trillion galaxies. I guess that's not possible either. You're dealing with God, and it's all possible. So they're in this boat, all these animals. And then in Genesis 8:1, then God remembered Noah. Now you say, well, what, was he off on vacation? And, oh my gosh, Noah. It's just, he knows, okay, Noah's been at this for a while, and every living thing and all the animals that were with him in the ark. And God made a wind to pass over the earth, and the waters subsided. That's some wind. You're dealing with a powerful God. The fountains of the deep and the windows of heaven were also stopped, and the rain from heaven was restrained, and the waters receded continually from the earth. At the end of the 150 days, the waters decreased. Then the ark rested in the 7th month, the 7th day of the month, on the mountains of Ararat, and the waters decreased continually until the 10th month. In the 10th month, on the 1st day of the month, the tops of the mountains were seen. So it came to pass at the end of 40 days that Noah opened the windows of the ark which he had made. So this interesting phrase for me, it came to pass. Now, this is part of what we're going to talk about today. I've got stuff going on in my life, you've got stuff going on in your life, and I'm going to get you to think about it this way. Is it possible that what you're dealing with came to pass? It didn't come to stay. It came to pass. And you're thinking you're stuck with this, and there are things in life that you may be stuck with. So is Noah going to die on this boat? No. The whole story, everything that God was up to, this is where it turns. So it came to pass at the end of 40 days that Noah opened the window, the ark which he had made. Then he sent out a raven, which kept going to and fro until the waters had dried up on the earth. He also sent out for himself a dove to see if the waters had receded from the face of the ground. But the dove found no resting place for the sole of her foot. She returned He put out his hand, took her in, and drew her into the ark to himself. And he waited yet another 7 days, and again he sent out the dove from the ark. Then the dove came to him in the evening, and behold, a freshly plucked olive leaf was in her mouth, and Noah knew that the waters had receded from the earth. There's vegetation exposed. So he waited yet another 7 days and sent out the dove, which did not return again to him anymore. And it came to pass, in the 601st year, in the first month, the first day of the month, that the waters were dried up from the earth, and Noah removed the covering of the ark and looked, and indeed the surface of the ground was dry. So you say, well, he's got me doing some ridiculous task. Maybe not building an ark for 100 years, but like he just keeps me doing this mundane thing. He's told me to do something and just be faithful at that. And I'm doing that, but it seems like this is going to be the rest of my life. It could be the rest of your life, but it may not. It could be something that came to pass, and he's using it in your life. And they loaded up on the boat, and it rained, and it got to be an intense experience. You got to trust God. There's nowhere to go. You're the only thing that could save anybody. And then all of a sudden, a phrase like, it came to pass, and then the waters come down, they land on Mount Ararat, and they're out, and they're safe. Go to the next one, Genesis 22. And this is one of the most intense ones in the Bible. Genesis 22, and let's look at verse 1. Now, I get, you say, well, I know the story and I know how it turns out. It's one thing to look back on your life and say, here's where God has been faithful. It doesn't take a lot of faith to look back and see God as being faithful. It takes a lot of faith to look forward and believe that he will continue to be faithful. Okay? So you say, well, you read this story and we know what happened. It all turns out okay. But when you're in the middle of the story, when you're in the middle of your life and you're not sure how it's going to turn out, you're like, okay, well, he's asking me to do, once again, some crazy stuff. So look at here, verse 1. Now it came to pass, another thing that came to pass, you'll see, that God tested Abraham and said to him, Abraham, and he said, here I am. Then he said, take now your son, your only son, Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains, which I shall tell you. A burnt offering? I'm telling you, a bunch of people are like, I'm out. I started out saying, here I am, and now you're like, here I'm not. I'm out. I'm not barbecuing my kid. So Abraham rose early in the morning and saddled his donkey, took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son, and he split the wood for the burnt offering and arose and went to the place which God had told him. Now, you say, well, that's lunacy. Not when you've walked with God for a long time, because you say, he's not going to put me in a situation that's not going to glorify him and not going to be good for me in the long run, so I'm just going to obey him. Stop arguing with God. If he's told you to do something, just say, yes, sir, thank you, sir, and let's go. Well, what if it involves suffering? It looks like somebody's going to die, someone I love. But if that's what you told me to do, now you say, yeah, but this is crazy stuff. It's only crazy if you don't know God. And if you think this story's crazy, the whole point of the gospel is that a father was nuts enough to go through with this. Didn't just say he was going to send his son down here, but send his son down here. Jesus willing to come, lives a sinless life. They string him up. God could have stopped it. Jesus could have stopped it and let it happen. So there's no substitute for him because he's had to be the substitute for us. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said to his young men, stay here with the donkey. The lad and I will go yonder and worship. And we will come back to you. Now look, house, this is crazy stuff. Look at these verses. Slow down when you read your Bible. Look at what he said. You guys stay here with the donkey. The lad and I will go yonder and worship. We're going to worship. And then look at the word. And we will come back to you. There ain't no I'll be back. I'm doing what God told me to do. And I'm going to go do it. But you're dealing with a man who knew that even if he followed through and God required him to sacrifice his son, that same God could raise his son from the dead. So Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it on Isaac, his son. You carry the wood we're supposed to burn you on. And he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and the two of them went together. But Isaac spoke to Abraham, his father, and said, my father. And he said, here I am, my son. Then he said, look, the fire and the wood, but where's the lamb for a burnt offering? We're going to worship. We got no lamb. And Abraham said, my son, God will provide for himself the lamb for a burnt offering. That's his problem. So the two of the men went together. Then they came to the place of which God had told them. And Abraham built an altar there and placed the wood in order. And he bound Isaac, his son, and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched out his hand, took the knife to slay his son. But the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. So he said, here I am. Every time he hears it, here I am, here I am, here I am. And he said, do not lay your hand on the lad or do anything to him, for now I know that you fear God, since you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me. So just think about this for a second. What have you got that if God came after, you'd say, no, you can't have this. You can't have my children. You can't have my wife. You can't have my husband. You can't have my business. You can't have this. And you know he doesn't have it, and he knows he doesn't have it, and you're unwilling to give it up. I highly recommend in your worshiping to yield everything, everything. Even if I lose my life, I can hold on it as long as I can. But even if I lose my life, I have lost nothing because I will be with him at that point. So offer yourself a living sacrifice. Here I am, God, everything, whatever I've got. Keep reading. Don't lay a hand on anything. Don't harm him. I know you're willing to give me your son, your only son, for me. Then Abraham lifted his eyes and looked, and there behind him was a ram caught in a thicket by its horns, a hunter's dream. So Abraham went, took the ram, and offered it for a burnt offering instead of his son. And Abraham called the name of that place, the Lord will provide, as it is said to this day, in the mountain of the Lord, it shall be provided. Then the angel of the Lord called to Abraham a second time out of heaven, and he said, by myself I have sworn, says the Lord, because you have done this thing and have not withheld your son, your only son. Blessing I will bless you, and multiplying I will multiply your descendants as the stars of the heaven and as the sand which is on the seashore, and your descendants shall possess the gate of their enemies. In your seed, all the nations of the earth shall be blessed because you have obeyed my voice. Simple stuff. Obey. You say, but it's hard. What if in the middle of the hardship of your obedience, you just remember this one thing? Maybe it's a situation that came to pass. This too shall pass. Hang in there. Hold on. Be patient. We got people with loved ones that are sick. We got people that want to be married. We got people that want to have children. And you're heartbroken, you're lonely, you want these things that God has promised you in some cases. And you say, will I always feel this way? Will it always be this way? The answer in many cases is no. You just got to hold on and endure the situation until it passes. It says most of the things in life, this too will pass. Go to John chapter 16, verse 33. These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world, you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. You say, well, I'm in the tribulation stage of something. Okay, this too will pass. Hang in there. Okay, so you're in a really hard spot, tough spot, tribulation, suffering, pain, whatever it is. And you say, I can't take it anymore. Okay, what are you going to do? Let's go through your options. Well, I'm going to quit. And how's that going to make it any better? You still got the same situation. Well, I'm going to go back to smoking weed. I'm going to go back to being an alcoholic. I'm going to go back to stealing. I'm going to go back to lying. I'm going to go back to whatever I did before that, you know, I did what I want to do. And how did that work out for you? It did not work out for you. So you've made it this far in your progression. God is up to something in your life. You got a little pain, but we don't want pain. We don't want to suffer. But the scripture also says that people who suffered in the flesh have ceased from sin. We don't want to suffer. The thing is, if you get some wins under your belt, you won't want to go back as much. Amen. You weather a storm. You feel depressed. I'm going to quit. Screw all this. I'm going to do what I want to do. Then you wake up the next day. There is no joy. There's just more consequence on top of the consequence you had. You did what you wanted to do. So now you're a two-year-old again, instead of growing up. So let me read it again. These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world, you'll have tribulation. How am I going to have peace if in the world I have tribulation? He just answers it. Be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. So whatever you're facing in the world, the tribulation, I'm bigger than that. I've overcome that. Stick with me. And you will have peace. Because peace is not a thing. Peace is a person. It's Him. He is our peace. I remember standing first time at my mom's funeral. My mom was a tremendous lady. I'm standing there with my family. And I know she was a mess at the end. She had osteoporosis, Parkinson's. Her body had just attacked her. So I'm sad my mom is dead, but I'm really, really pumped for her because I know where she is. And I'm standing there with my family, and the whole congregation's up. And the song we chose was, "When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot thou hast taught me to say, even so, it is well with my soul." Now, how do you sing with sadness? How do you have joy and peace in the midst of sorrow? You're not going to have it without Him. Because without the hope of heaven, I don't know that my mom is okay. Without Jesus, she's not okay. But when you throw all that stuff at the recipe together and you mix it all up and go, she knew Jesus, Jesus knew her. She's not dead, she's more alive than ever. I will see her again. You start mixing all that together. Man, how do you not have some peace? You say, but are there days when you miss her? Sure, every once in a while I miss her, but it's not going to be long. I'll be where she is. Give Him a shot. Our way does not work. The world's way does not work. Stop trying the world's way. It's going to end up the same way every time. You're being lied to by the devil. You're being lied to by other people who say, come with me. It's going to be better over here. It's not better anywhere that He's not. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. If you want a great example, and the Bible uses this example, I have seen three human beings come out of my wife's body. She was sick with all three of them, solid. Like from the second she conceived a child, she got sick. 9 months, boom, had a baby, and she's fine. Sick, 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 sick. Taking medicine, everything she could, not throw up. And she'd have those babies pretty quick. It was very stressful for me. So. But what does the scripture say about it? A woman goes through all that pain, and a child is born. Poof. God does something in a woman's brain and her body, and it's almost like she can't remember the pain. Like heals her mind, her body, and then she's willing to have another one and another one. So you say, well, I don't understand how you can be in so much affliction, and then you talk about it's going to be okay. It's like that. God says, look, I get you're in a tough spot, but this is going to pass. And then you're going to go, wow, it's like I can't even remember how tough it was. I'm glad I held on. I'm glad I trusted you. I'm glad I obeyed you. I'm glad I waited. I persevered. 2 Corinthians 4:17, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Glory revealed again, the same word from Romans 8. While we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. So you say, well, I'm sick, and I've been sick a long time, and what if He doesn't heal me? What if I die sick? Now, I don't say this lightly, even though the word is used here. God says light affliction compared to, but if you only look at it as affliction, like affliction is your whole life, it will never pass. Yes, it may be in your lifetime, but what if it's true that it is a light affliction compared to the glory that's coming on the other side? Because if you don't have that future, if you don't have that faith to look forward, you will despair because you'll think all you have is affliction. All you have is pain. My little brother's got a sick wife. Still makes me crazy. And if she does not die, that is his life. And she may get worse. But we're not about to find something out. I am already finding something out about my little brother. He sees to the other side. Because you cannot have joy and peace now without having seen that there's a future, and it will not always be this way. If there is such a thing as Christian big boy panties, you better put them on. because sooner or later, you're going to need them. You better buckle up, buttercup, or you won't make it. And if your life has been whining and complaining and not obeying and not trusting and not following, it's not going to go well. You better get some reps in, trust in Jesus, because it can get really dark before the dawn. James 1, I got three more. There's hope. You're going home. James 1, verse 12, blessed is the man who endures temptation, for when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those who love him. So you say, well, I'm being tempted. Okay, endure the temptation. This too will pass. I don't want a show of hands on this, but men or women, think back in your life, someone you thought, ooh, I'm going to leave my spouse for that person. And if you think about it, you're like, wow, that would have been really stupid. I sure am glad I stayed home. Just endure. Well, it's hard. It's going to be harder if you give in. You're just making more trouble for yourself. Revelation 21:4. This is what I'm talking about. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. I don't know how this works or how he does it, but I've wiped some tears away from some kids' eyes, and I've had them wiped away from my eyes. You show up in heaven, and God goes, no more tears, and he wipes away the tears. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. And those two words are very interesting. We use that to describe someone who has died. They have passed away. So let me ask you one maybe final question. Did you come to pass? Is that the only reason you're here? You were just born to die. You just came to pass. You have no goals. You have no nothing. No intention to ever follow Jesus. And you wonder why it feels like you're going nowhere. Because you're going nowhere. You're just sitting around waiting to die. You did not come here to pass. You came here to live. To be born one time and then to be born a second time and show the world what life is really about, his way. You say, well, I have no interest in that. His word will never pass away, and there's another thing that will never pass, and that's hell.
Before Richard comes back to wrap things up for us today, I'd like to share a couple important things with you. Let me encourage you to take a minute and check out our website, richardellistalks.com. You'll find today's talk right there in the talks page, along with all of Richard's messages. You can even forward them to a friend so they can hear them too. You'll also find the prayer wall to add your prayer requests, a link to connect with us, the contribute page for you to be able to give to this ministry, a radio station finder, all our social media links, and much more. So check it out, richardellistalks.com. And Richard's back now to wrap up today's talk.
Revelation 20, verse 10, the devil who deceived them was cast in the lake of fire and brimstone where the beast and the false prophet are, and they will be tormented day and night forever and ever. Old preachers used to scream and holler it, had towels to wipe off the sweat. I'm telling you, you say no to Jesus, you say yes to hell, you will spend eternity forever and ever and ever and ever in a real hell. You say, I don't believe that. You will. And I take no delight in telling you that, but you will also not be able to say, you didn't warn me. I was at a party the other night with a guy who I've known for a while, see him occasionally, and I've gone to talk to him, and I was told no, no, no. And the other night, Holy Spirit told me now, and I grabbed him. I said, can we go outside? And I presented the gospel to him, and I was making a lot of people nervous by doing this. I knew, and I told him that. I said, we better go back inside before everybody loses their mind, because they know what I'm out here doing with you. Now, he did not become a Christian with me then, but I told him, I said, look, whether you understand this or not, I love you. And I care about you. And I could not go another encounter with you without saying what I've said to you today. And you're going to do whatever you're going to do. But I'm encouraging you to cry out to Jesus and say, if there's something to what he has just told me, then reveal yourself to me and give me the faith to respond. You say, well, what's going to happen to him? I don't know. He's going to have to make a decision. But he will not curse me in hell for not caring enough to say something. Because I did not come here to pass. I came here to live an abundant life the way he intended. And yes, I go down. Yes, I have challenges. Yes, I have fears. But greater is he who is in me than he who's in this world. And we win. So get you some of that.
Thanks for listening today to Richard Ellis Talks. We're confident that the program blessed you, and we want to hear about it. One way is to give us a call and let us know. The number is 855-6-RICHARD. Another way is to drop us an email. Jump on over to our website, richardellistalks.com, and click on the Connect tab at the top. We'd love to hear from you. And while you're there at the website, there's a ton of great stuff there just for you. Things like all of the talks from Richard, a prayer wall where you can leave your prayer request, and a whole lot more. Check it out, richardellistalks.com. Finally, we love doing this program for you, but we're so grateful when you hop on board to help us with the cost. Call us at 855-6-RICHARD, or you can contribute through the website. It's easy and much appreciated. 855-6-RICHARD or richardellistalks.com. Until next time, God bless you, and thanks for listening to Richard Ellis Talks.